And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had a program here. I wasn't able to finish up. We got going pretty good, but we ran out of time, and I promised you we would have part two of this program about the psychopathic elite, the Illuminati, psychopathic criminals who now have grabbed the back of the neck, the nape of the neck of this once great country, America. I want to talk to you more about that today. You know, we were talking about how to recognize a nation that had sunk down to a level where it had become a pathocracy. Let me spell that for you. It would be like the word path, P-A-T-H-O-C-R-A-C-Y, a pathocracy. You know, many years ago, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, I actually taught psychology for a university. I say I'm embarrassed because, you know, really, psychology is diametrically opposed to Christianity and truth. But at that time, many, many years ago, I was not living for the Lord as I should have been. And by the way, of course, I took many graduate level courses in psychology and politics with an advanced degree from North Carolina State. And so it was no problem to teach university level psychology courses. It's just that once I became a Christian and began to really study the Bible over the decades, I realized that psychology was, may I use an East Texas expression, pure baloney or malarkey, whatever you'd like to call it from your area of the country. But the fact is that most psychologists I met were insane. They were nuts. They were crazy. They were batty as can be. But there were only a few that I can remember that I had any respect for. I remember the time when I was a commanding officer over in Germany. And as commanding officer, when we had a sergeant or an airman who would get in trouble from a drunken episode, you know, DWI, something like that, or drugs, we would have to set up a little committee. And I had a psychiatrist friend, Dr. Bloomberg, and he was a member of that committee. And then the drug and alcohol rehab officer was a member of the committee. And the legal officer, you know, the lawyer was a member of the committee. And I, as a commanding officer, would be sort of the chair of that committee. And we would each month look over the young person's progress, how they were doing in their alcohol or drug rehab program. I remember we had one a sergeant who had a couple of DWIs and was about ready to be discharged with a bad discharge. And we gave him a chance. I gave him an opportunity to be rehabbed for about 6 months on this program. And he was getting all of, you know, we were probably paying a couple of $100,000 for the guy to be rehabbed. And so we had this committee to see how he was doing. Well, unfortunately, he had just gone out and got another DWI. I believe we call it actually DUI, driving under the influence. So it depends, again, your locale, the exact terminology they use nowadays, but we call it DUI, if I can remember, in the U.S. Air Force. And as we sit around, the drug rehab officer says, well, this poor sergeant, he was having family problems at home. And, you know, that caused him to go out and to drink, and you know, that's when he got caught driving again. We should be soft on the man, considering his personal problems. But Dr. Bloomberg, who was a psychiatrist, one of the only ones at that airbase that I really appreciated and believed in, said, whoa, 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 hold it, hold it, hold it. Let's get down to the facts of this case. And of course, the drug rehab officer, you know, his eyes got big. Dr. Bloomberg, the psychiatrist, says, here are the facts of the matter. He drank and got drunk. He drove and he got caught. And that's the end of it. And I said, well, what do you call that kind of psychiatry, Dr. Bloomberg? He looked at me and he says, it's called reality therapy. I said, I like that. Reality therapy. He got drunk and he drove. And that's the end of it. Put that down. I told the captain, rehab officer, I says, captain, put that down on his record. Dr. Bloomberg says he got drunk and he drove. And that's the end of it. And it was his third offense. And I turned to the legal officer and I said, prepare the paperwork. I would like this man off the airbase and discharged by the end of the week. Now, some people say that's so harsh. That's so mean of you. Yeah, well, tell the people that he crashed into that were in the hospital, one man with a very bad brain injury, tell me that it was all because he was having problems at home. For that man to be like a vegetable for the rest of his life that he hit with his car, tell it to his family. That's the one I had the sympathy for. But as far as Dr. Bloomberg, he was one of the few psychiatrists that I could send a person to and actually get help. And I sent many people to Dr. Bloomberg, and he used reality therapy. And guess what? He saved many a person's career and life by using reality therapy, not making up excuses, defense mechanisms, but simply say, here is what you have done. Here is what you ought to do. Now go and do the right thing. And that's the end of it. And, you know, saved a lot of lives, a lot of homes. Well, deviancy. America is a deviant nation. It is a society characterized by psychopathy. It's because we have elevated the insane few. And as a book I was recently reading called Political Ponerology by Andrew Lobachewski of Poland says, no more than 4 or 5% of a nation are psychopaths, but they're the ones that cause all the problems. You know, this is true of anything. Jesus said, few there are that will find the way to heaven. Only the few will find the way to heaven. I've been in many organizations. It was true in the Air Force. It's true everywhere I go. Usually, it's just a small percent of the people doing most of the work. We have a huge welfare and tax system in America, but I find it's only the few that are making the money, and I don't mean rich people, but I mean people that are actually going out and have jobs where they go to work, and they're paying out all the taxes so that all the lazy bums can have a handout. It's the few that are supporting the many. It's always so. In wartime, it's been my experience, and I was in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years. It's been my realization that the few go and fight for the many who are either too lazy or too slothful or make up some reason why they can't go. You know, I'm talking about the Dick Cheneys who 5 times got draft deferments and the Bill Clinton who ran off and hid behind a beard in, you know, demonstrations over in the Britain. The draft dodgers, the few who went and did their duty in a crummy war called Vietnam and Korea before it, a war in which we were never supposed to win, according to our psychopathic leaders of this country, but they still went and did their duty and they came back maimed, crippled, and many dead. So that the rest of them could go about driving their cars and taking their drugs and watching their TV and watching their football games, et cetera, and on, or bowling or whatever else they do. It's true. The few are always in a way. The few do so much good, but there's also few that do so much bad. They're the psychopaths. Any church, you can find out just 3 or 4% of the people that do all the good works. The rest of them are just a bunch of pew sitters. I find in this ministry, we have thousands that receive our newsletter, but there's only a few that give and support all the rest of them. So there's a few that are good and a few that are bad, and they do everything, good or evil. And the rest of them are just a bunch of parasites that sit around, and eventually they will become victims because by their inertia, they're doing nothing. They allow the promotion of the few who are insane, who are mental deviants, and are criminally psychopathic. Now, I want to repeat what I said on part one of this program. I'm not that worried. Maybe I should be. I'm not that worried about the Charlie Mansons and the Ted Bundys and the other serial killers. You see, they really can't get around to enough people to kill. I mean, how many people can you kill? 10, 20, 50, 200, maybe. You'd have to be pretty busy to kill over 200 or 300 people as a serial killer. If you're a Charles Manson, who, by the way, just incited other people to kill. He didn't even kill himself, at least as far as we know. Or a Ted Bundy, or all these other, you know, we can just name them all. Richard Speck and Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer and all these people. They only killed a handful. But if they were able to gain, if they had enough charm and cunning and craftiness, and they were able to rise to the top in politics, then they could really practice their skills of killing. Oh, then they would be able to kill millions. It sort of reminds me, I think I mentioned before, of the Air Force major friend of mine. We had a debate, and this shows you sometimes the silly and crazy debates that even military officers have. We were out to lunch, you see, with a Marine. He was a real Marine hero, by the way, and the guy was really, he was an incredible Marine. I think he had broken the world's record, the Guinness Book of World Records, for the number of pull-ups that you could do. You know, athletically. He did, I don't know, like 3,000 pull-ups over like 26 hours. It was in, just kept going and going and going. And they had the Marine band there playing all the time while he was breaking the Guinness Book of World Records for the number of pull-ups. This was done right here at the University of Texas gym. I went over there to see him, to root him on a little bit, you know. I was teaching at the Air Force ROTC program, and my good Marine officer friend there, he had a sign on his wall, kill them all and sort out the innocent later. This Marine officer, he was gung-ho. He bought him a brand-new Camaro, Chevrolet Camaro, sporty car, and took it down and had it painted camouflage color. He was driving around, you know, had all his hair practically shaved off. He had this spit-shine shoes and this Marine uniform driving all over campus in a camouflage Camaro. Boy, that gets your attention. He came by my office one day and said, hey, you know, want to invite you to a party. He had two girls, one on each arm, a beautiful black girl and a beautiful blonde girl. Now, this guy was, talk about a Marine officer. He was a character. But he lost the day that we were talking. My friend said to him, you think you're so good as a Marine. How many people have you killed with your bare hands? He looked at him and says, well, I've killed a few in the Vietnam War. My friend said, how many? How many could you kill in one day? He said, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred. My Air Force friend said, well, let me tell you something. I was a missile officer. I had the power to turn a key and kill millions in 30 minutes. The Marine said, well, why didn't you? He said, well, we were never given the order. There were two of us down deep in the silo up in Missouri. And if we had been given the cryptographic order, we would have turned the keys, each of us, at the same time. My fellow officer would turn his key, and I, on the other side of the silo, would turn my key, and whoosh, millions of people dead. I had the power to kill millions. Think about that. George Bush, according to Lancet, the British Medical Journal, has killed over a million people in Iraq. Fortunately, only about 3,500 or so of those are Americans. But isn't that enough? I mean, when is, you know, the Marine officer said, I could kill a couple hundred with my bare hands in one day. Isn't that enough? But these psychopaths can kill millions. Tens of millions. And they've done so. 66 million, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, were killed in the gulags of communist Russia by the Jewish commissars. 66 million. By those calculations, Adolf Hitler was slow. He didn't even kill 10 million. If the figures are even right about that. 66 million. They say Mao Zedong killed 20 million in his first 6 months he was in office in communist China. 20 million in 6 months. But he was a dictator for, what, a couple of decades? How many did he kill in all? Some people say up to 100 million died in Red China. But, of course, there are big pals. There are big buddies. We play, our psychopathic leaders play golf with their psychopathic leaders. Deviants. And finally, in a country in the last stages of this psychopathic disorder, in the final stages of a psychopathic disorder, the maniacs, the psychopaths, rise to the top. And they're able to do the most damage because they have been able to take over the reins of the culture and society. Now, we're already seeing this happen today in society. Now, I want to tell you, there's little signs you can see. Just read the newspapers for a couple of weeks. You know what I'm talking about. For example, there in that university in Illinois, just a few weeks back, when... The young man went in, walked up to the stage at that university and opened fire. But I think he killed 6 people, wounded at least 15. His girlfriend, of course, he was shacking up naturally. She said she had no advanced signs that this nut was going to do these things, this psychopath. She said, well, I had no idea he was capable of doing that. Well, you know, she might have had an idea of it that she didn't think about. How about the fact that just a couple of months before he had a satanic pentagram with blood dripping off of it tattooed on his body? How about the fact that he had some kind of a devil doll tattooed on his body? How about the fact that he had some kind of a satanic knife stuck into a skull tattooed over his entire arm? She had no signs? Huh? And there's more, of course. There's a sign that some bad things are going to happen. When the Attorney General of the United States was recently visited by the news, folks, it was reported in Reuters Press International, January 28, 2008, Attorney General Mukasey, a Jew, naturally, they discovered that he had 2 photos or pictures framed and hanging on the wall behind his desk. He said, what are those? Well, one of them was a picture of George Orwell, the author of 1984. The other was a picture of the guy who was the chief prosecutor at Nuremberg, who lied and tortured and forced people to lie at Nuremberg. Did 6 million die in the Holocaust? We'll really never know. Let me tell you why. Because they got the guy at Auschwitz and they tortured him and made him say that 4 million had died in that one camp alone. We have since come to find out from the historians and the people that now run that camp, they say that wasn't true. So why did the guy go to his death saying, yeah, I killed 4 million. I was commandant of this camp. Why did he do it? Well, you know, I think, dear friends, when they beat you and inject you with poisons in your body to influence your mind and pull out your fingernails and put pins and needles under your tongue and get hot irons and lay them on your back while you're being held down and tortured, you do a lot of talking and saying things that you didn't or didn't do. We'll never know how many died in the Holocaust because we tortured the Germans to get them to admit whatever we wanted them to say they did. In fact, the prosecutor, in his opening remarks at the Nuremberg trials, and they've cut this out so you won't even know it now, but the official transcripts say that Justice Robert Jackson from the United States told the military tribunal, we're going to prove that these defendants took 20,000 innocent Jews out in a field, stripped them of all their clothes, and then dropped nuclear bombs on them. That was one of the things they accused the Germans of doing, taking 20,000 innocent Jews out into a field and dropping nuclear bombs on them to kill them. And, of course, these trials were held within a year or so of the hideous dropping of atomic bombs by the United States on Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan. And everybody had that firmly imprinted in their minds, the horrors and what had happened to many of the survivors and victims there in Japan. So when Justice Jackson, being the filthy liar that he is, told the whole world, we're going to prove that the Germans dropped nuclear bombs on 20,000 unarmed, innocent Jewish civilians, everybody was aghast. The only thing was it never happened. Germany didn't have any nuclear bombs. America was the only country in the world at the time that had the nuclear bomb. It was all made up. But it doesn't matter how much you lie and deceive and cheat and torture. If you're in charge, if you're a psychopath, Jackson was a psychopath. But it's his picture hanging on the wall behind our attorney general's desk in Washington, D.C., at the U.S. Justice Department. But wait, there's the picture of George Orwell, who wrote the book about Big Brother. The reporter asked Attorney General Mukasey, why do you have George Orwell's picture there? He says, well, in books like 1984, he used words with such clarity. Oh, yes, like, I love Big Brother. That was very clear, full of clarity. You see the mind of Mukasey, our attorney general? But wait, let me tell you something else you won't even believe. Go to Washington, D.C. like I have. Go to the U.S. Justice Department, this huge building. The U.S. Justice Department, and there's a statue out in front of it. Right on the street there. There's a statue. Has to be a real Justice Department hero to have a statue of him right in front of the Justice Department on valuable real estate in Washington, D.C., doesn't it? Let me tell you who the statue is of. It's of a man named Albert Pike. He was sovereign grand commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry back during the U.S. Civil War. In fact, he was a Confederate war general. But right at the end of the war, he fled to Canada. You know why? Because as a Confederate, a Southern war general, he had used Indian allies from Indian tribes and let them scalp Yankee soldiers that were killed. And there were many other crimes he was guilty of. So here's a guy that scalped Yankee soldiers, but was the highest level Freemason. And let me go ahead and tell you right now, he was also one of the three co-founders of the Ku Klux Klan. And today in Washington, D.C., they've got a statue of the man. Where is Jesse Jackson and Obama when we need them? Hey, Barack Obama, go to the Justice Department and take, as Reagan said about the Berlin Wall, take down that statue, Mr. Mukasey, Mr. Bush. take down that statue of the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. And by the way, look at the statue very carefully. You'll see a serpent carved in stone at the foundation of it. Ah, yes. The serpent and the sovereign grand commander and the founder of the Ku Klux Klan and a man guilty of scalping. By the way, Abraham Lincoln had him indicted. And that's why he fled to Canada. Now, after Lincoln was assassinated, a Southerner became president, Andrew Johnson, and promptly, and he was, by the way, a 32nd degree Freemason, and Albert Pike was his superior, a 33rd degree Freemason. Well, guess what? He pardoned. He gave a full presidential pardon to Albert Pike, his superior. The president gave a pardon to his Masonic superior who was guilty of war crimes, who was a founder of the Ku Klux Klan. And now you know the true story of why Andrew Johnson was the first president of the United States to ever be impeached. Bill Clinton being the second. You're always told about Andrew Johnson being impeached, but you never knew why. There it is. Now, let's talk again about these 10 ways to know that America has become a psychopathic society. I covered 4 last time. I'm going to cover them. 6? Thank you, Jerry. Jerry, my assistant here, is telling me I covered 6 last time. We're going to go over those very quickly because I want you to have, you know, sort of a recap, because after a couple weeks, you forget things. I know I do. Let's go back and look at these deviancy categories. Now, I want you to understand, the reason I'm telling you about these 10 characteristics of a mentally deviant, psychopathic society led by insane, crazies, dangerous, murder, thieves, robbers, torturers, the reason I want you to know these 10, so you can identify at what stage of the psychopathy America is in. Because at a certain stage, a nation will turn on its people, its citizens, and not only kill just thousands, but millions. Such as happened, let's say, in a communist society, such as in Red China or the Soviet Union. There will come a time when the mental deviancy has reached such a level that the psychopathic elite have brought in others just like them because they can recognize. They meet you and they almost know instantly. It's like some kind of a satanic current. They know whether you're a psychopath or not and whether you would be amenable. You may be chosen to be commandant of a concentration camp or a gulag detention center. You may be chosen to be a federal agent of the FBI or whatever. Simply because the psychopathic leader is able to recognize psychopathic qualities in you. And soon then they take all the positions of leadership. And boy, they're ready to go. The A train is coming down the line. At what stage is America? Well, you decide that for yourself. But I want you to understand, by understanding these characteristics of a mentally deviant, psychopathic society, perhaps you can become immune. I want to generate immunity. I want you to vaccinate you against them. I'm not saying we can defeat the psychopathic society and culture and nation, but at least you won't be in the dark about what is soon to overtake you and me in the entire nation. Now, when we come back, we're going to get into these 10 characteristics of a mentally insane society, and you judge for yourself at what stage America is. Is it an advanced stage, a corrupt, decadent society, ready to go right into the multi-millions of deaths and murders? You decide. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. You know, we're offering the incredible DVD video produced by Alex Jones entitled End game. End game. The end game. And this is 134 minutes of incredible facts you don't want to miss. I was talking to Alex Jones about it, and he said, Tex, they want to kill us. They plan to kill us. That's their intent. They're not playing a game except an end game. That's what it all comes down to, friends. No wonder it says in Proverbs in the Bible, God said, all they who hate me love death. They plan to kill us. We're not talking about just power. They don't want just power for power's sake or money for the wealth it gives them and the advantages. They want blood. Why is that? Well, because they are psychopaths. And you need this video to understand their true intentions toward you and me. That's the meaning of the New World Order. That's the meaning of the global conspiracy. It's not just some men getting together and saying, oh, let's have a wonderful United Nations-led, glorious socialist paradise. It's more than that. They want you dead. Oh, you've got to have this video. Endgame. $25. It's over 2 hours long. And you'll be astonished at the information that it has on it. It's all documented in their own words. It's amazing. They've got so audacious and arrogant and bold and pompous, they just go ahead and tell you what they want to do. They know it's not going to be reported in the major media anyway, because they control, they own the major media. They're not worried about the Tex Moores and Alex Jones. But nevertheless, isn't it good to know about these things in advance? You know, the Bible says the prudent see ahead what is going to happen, and therefore they do the things that are necessary to keep them safe. The prudent, the wise. And doesn't it say in Daniel 12, verse 10, the wise shall understand the events of the last days, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and the wicked shall not understand. Friends, I want you to be wise. I want you to be prudent. I want you to know. I want you to have an immunity to these things. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Get the video. End game. Had an email today. A person wrote to me and says, Tex, I've been listening to these scare things for 15 years. It hasn't happened yet. So I just want to be taken off your mailing list. I've been listening to 15 years. The end is at hand. It hasn't happened. Sort of reminds me of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told by God, go prophesy to the people about the horrors that are going to come. And he went and did it. And you know what? It didn't happen right away. See, he wasn't given a date. He was just told, go prophesy. It's coming. He did. And then people began to make fun of him. Oh, you've been crying wolf, Jeremiah. Look, everything remains as it is. We're prosperous. We're doing great as a nation. Oh, you're just a fearmonger. Jeremiah got on his knees and said, Lord, I'm looking like a fool. People are laughing at me. I prophesied these things and they haven't come to pass. And you know, God took him to task. Said, Jeremiah, it's not in your province. It's not your business when they're going to happen. You just do what I tell you to do. And he did. And they happened. Everything exactly as he said. He even specified the number of years that the nation of Israel would be taken captive by the Babylonians who invaded. 70 years. And you know what? To the day, it was 70 years of their captivity. Everything occurred. And you know what? The government got angry at him for scaring the people. Said, shut up! They beat him. They threw him in prison. They threw him in a pit. In fact, mud, I think, came up to, I forget how much it was, up to his knee or up to his hips. The captain of the guard beat him. And then Jeremiah made a prophecy to him. He said, you beat me? You do these things to a prophet of the Lord, let me tell you what's going to happen to you when the conquerors come. They're going to gouge out your eyes. You know what happened? That very man, that's exactly what they did. They gouged out his eyes. I'm telling you, friends, I want you to know the truth, and I want you to prepare, and I want you to know that, not to be fearful. Who is afraid? No one should be fearful. The book of Revelation said it's the fearful who are going straight to hell. I want you to know the truth so you can be confident of the future and you can know you have a Savior. You have someone who's looking out for your welfare. End game. $25. Please add $4 for shipping and handling. Write to us at Power of Prophecy. Ask for the Alex Jones video, End Game. It's in DVD. That's all we've got it right now, I believe, is we don't have the VHS, only the DVD. $29 postpaid. Ask for End Game. It's all one word, End Game by Alex Jones, and we'll get it right out to you, okay? Now, a few of you ordered it before, and we had some bad copies. You know, Alex Jones' organization, and he called apologizing. And this happens because he had about 10,000 run off, and I guess their machines messed up, and a bunch of them were bad, and we've had some returns on those. Now, I want you to understand something, friends. If you get a DVD or whatever that doesn't work, I want you to return it to us. We're going to make it right. We always do here. It's very rare. And Alex says, this won't happen again. I guess he's changing companies that make his DVDs. But we had quite a few returns, and I get a little upset about these things. But it wasn't his fault. It does happen from time to time. But I'm just here to assure you, we take care of you here. Listen, when I order a DVD, I want it to play right, and I know you do too. So if that's happened to any of you, don't just say, oh, well, it won't work. Let me just put it away. No. Send that back to us. Okay? I want to hear from you. And phone us and say, hey, this thing doesn't work. Boy, send it right back to us. We'll take care of it. In fact, throw it in the trash can. Let us know. We'll send you a replacement, okay? We want to take care of you. You know, you're our friend. You're a member of the family of Power Prophecy. You're not a buyer. You're not a customer. You're not a client. You are a member of the family, and we're going to take care of you, okay? Now, our telephone number here to order things, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Hey, you can order online. That's a great way to do it, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the psychopathic elite who now run America. I told you I would tell you about these deviancy categories, 10 of them. Number one, this is how to know now that a nation is becoming or has become psychopathic and how to judge at what stage it's at. Number one, immorality becomes rampant and the tearing apart of the fabric of what is proper and propriety. There will be attacks on traditional values. That's the number one way to judge a deviant society. Hasn't that been going on for several decades now, friends? Of course it has. A second, number two in the 10 factors, is cruelty and brutality become commonplace. Murders, tortures, children killing parents, parents killing children. I think abortion started an incredible trend toward a devaluing of human life. And the wars that we've had, especially since World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and so forth, Persian Gulf, all of these have been a devaluing of life. And now every Johnny-come-lately cop has a taser gun out there and is torturing people with taser guns. Little bitty, you know, security enforcement people or guards at these airports. They have no training as law enforcement. They're not even law enforcement. They have minimum, you know, wage-paying jobs, but they carry around one of those taser devices. And they would just love to taser you so they can taste what it feels like to make you hurt, to give you pain because they are psychopaths. And more of them have become our police and law enforcement. I mean, you go out to the forest somewhere, to some national forest. You're looking at something. You step on a pathway. You're not. Watch out. Some guy may reach up behind you and taser you in the back of the head, or your wife or your little child. You shouldn't have stepped on that. There might be an endangered species there. Zap. They have tasers. Everybody has tasers. We're a tasered society. And our prisons are now full. What nation on earth has more prisons than America? None. And yet crime goes unpunished everywhere. More people going to prison for crimes, but more crimes go unpunished. This adds to cruelty and brutality. Now, a third trait you will see, or a characteristic in a deviant, mentally ill society, is lies and deceptions. Lies and deceptions by those in leadership, but they justify it. It's necessary to protect you. Why? If we didn't lie to you, the bad guys would know what we're doing. So we've got to lie to you about what we're really doing. And then, as part of these lies and deceptions, they have to change words. Big Brother has to change words. Names must change. For example, abortion can no longer be called abortion. It's called choice. Choice. And, you know, God's chosen people should be those he's chose because Jesus has come into their hearts and saved them and they become new people. But then they come out and say, no, it's because you are of a certain race. That's when you're God's chosen. Nobody else can be God's chosen. You see, they change the terms. Suicide bombers, that's not good. That might make you feel sympathy for the Palestinians or somebody. Let's call them homicidal bombers. And all of the press gets in line. Names are very important. Words are very important. And by the way, you're not taking innocent people away without trials and shipping them off to some foreign country and putting them in an American gulag prison. You're just performing something called extraordinary rendition. What happened to my husband? Well, ma'am, extraordinary rendition. What is that? You don't want to find out. And then, of course, it's not torture. No. It's not torture. It's coercive interrogation or intensive interrogation techniques. Oh, yes, they're new words. You're not tortured. You're just being coerced. And then, of course, we didn't invade Iraq. We went in there for nation building. In fact, we went in there to give them democracy. Isn't that what we want? You just know that George Bush decided, I will send in American troops, I will overthrow Saddam Hussein, and then all of those Muslims who live by Sharia law will just say, oh, thank God, we're now a democracy. They love it. They do in all of those Muslim countries. Just like the Jews, they all love democracy too. That's why their Jewish rabbis are all tyrants. Democracies. Well, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, isn't it? I mean, that is, unless you're not a Jew. And then suddenly they become a dictatorship. Well, you know, it's sort of like George Orwell's Animal Farm. We're all equal. All the pigs, all the animals are equal, but some are just more equal than others. And then, of course, here's where you really got it. If you're a normal person, you're a loon. You're a crazy. In fact, if you're normal in a deviant society, you're probably a potential domestic terrorist. And you could be eligible for extraordinary rendition and coercive interrogation. Unless you're one of God's chosen, and then, of course, they're exempt from those things. Homosexual perversion, of course, there's no such thing. That's called freedom. That's the new word for that. That's freedom and liberty and tolerance. You don't agree? Well, that's because you're a dangerous person. You're the kind of person that makes this society unstable. You see, it is a psychopathic society, and normal people are nutty in an insane society. A lot of you remember the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest many years ago. It starred Jack Nicholson. There were just a couple of people that appeared to be sane on the psycho ward. But as it turned out, the nurse in charge was herself a psychopath. She couldn't allow normal people to stay normal, so they had to have lobotomies. That's what they want to do for you. Now, if they can't give you a lobotomy by exposing you to thousands of hours a year of television, which is nothing more than brainwashing, eventually they'll do it by taking you away to a government-run psychiatric institution where you'll receive shock treatments. And if that's not good enough, they will take the old ice pick and give you the old traditional lobotomy. They'll do that. Mark my word. Now, lies and deception. Propaganda organs are established at all levels of society. It's necessary to protect you from the crazies, meaning the normal people. Number four, Big Brother intrusions, loss of privacy. I hear it all the time now. I complain about how they wiretap our phones, how they put hidden video cams in people's home, how they are able now. That's right, they're able now to violate the 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I'm here at work right now broadcasting this program. They can, the FBI, the CIA could be at my home going through all my personal effects, going through my computers and all that, trying to find any dirt or creating dirt, maybe even planting false things. You say, well, thank God I'm not into child pornography or something. Hey, don't go to work tomorrow. While you're at work, Big Brother's police can go in there and plant 5 or 6 images from porno sites on your web, on your hard drive, and suddenly you're a pornographer. I don't believe for a moment that every one of these people being arrested are pornographers. They can do it remote. They don't even have to go. I mean, they can get your internet service provider to put it on your hard drive. Oh, yeah. And that leads to number 5. Removal in a Big Brother, deviant, psychopathic country. There is a removal of the people's ability to defend themselves from official cruelty and oppression. Removal of your ability to defend yourself. For example, if you are picked up in the den of night and taken away for extraordinary rendition to some gulag, your wife or your husband may be given a security letter in which they are told, don't go to the press, don't tell your friends, don't even tell your family members what happened to your loved one, or you'll be violating national security. This is a national security letter. Keep your trap shut about where your husband or your loved one has gone. They are simply the disappeared. Removal of ability to defend yourself from official cruelty and oppression. I just read this very week, in fact, there's a case pending in the U.S. Supreme Court. It's D.C., District of Columbia versus Heller. You see, the District of Columbia said they could pass laws, and they have for a couple of decades, in which they said people may not own a handgun, a firearm. You just couldn't own it. You couldn't own one. You had to go ask the cops for permission, and they were always practically saying, no, you don't need anything to defend yourself. That's why crime is so high there. Nobody can defend themselves in Washington, D.C. Well, some people have taken this all the way to the Supreme Court and said that Washington, D.C., the government does not have the right to take away our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear firearms. And that's what the Second Amendment says. And guess what? The Federal District Court held for the constitutional right of the people. And the Court of Appeals held for the people. And now it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court rules, it's decided, finally. Finally, after all these 200 years, what's in the Constitution is going to be affirmed by the Supreme Court. And it looks like the Supreme Court might indeed rule, along with the District Court and the Court of Appeals, that's right, you have a right. Which shouldn't be a hard job. I mean, give me 30 seconds and I can tell you there it is in the Constitution. I don't even know why the Supreme Court has to waste their time on this case. But wait. Our psychopaths at the Justice Department in the Bush administration has now gone to the Supreme Court, and I want to read you this. Listen to this. The U.S. Solicitor General, Paul Clement, C-L-E-M-E-N-T, who works for Attorney General Mukasey, the Jewish wacko and psychopath who has Big Brother George Orwell's picture behind his desk, and with George Bush's approval, the U.S. Solicitor General of the U.S. Justice Department of the George Bush administration is asking the Supreme Court to overturn the lower courts and to rule that individuals have no absolute rights to keep and bear arms, and in fact, the government has the constitutional right, this is what they want now the Supreme Court to affirm, to place, quote, reasonable restrictions on constitutional rights to keep and own firearms. The Bush administration says, Supreme Court judges, we, the government, should have the right to place reasonable restrictions. Now, who decides what's reasonable? Well, we do. We're the government. And Washington, D.C., obviously has made reasonable restrictions. And what are those restrictions? You can't own one. That's reasonable, according to the government. I mean, after all, they're there to protect you. And if you have a gun, you might hurt yourself. You might hurt someone who breaks into your home wanting to rape your wife and rob you and kill your whole family. You might hurt them if you have a gun. Why, you might even drop it or something, get excited, and it shoot you. Why, that's dangerous. We can't allow you to own a gun. We've got to make reasonable restrictions. Our own conservative Republican president says the government should have the right to restrict your constitutional rights for the good of society. Removal of the ability to defend oneself from official cruelty and oppression. Now, number six, removal of ability to correct lies. What's that all about? Well, for example, in France, I have a news clipping here. This is true in France. It's true in Germany. It's true in 12 other countries right now. And it's going to be true in America very soon. It's true in Canada. There are things you cannot say even if they're true. There's hate crimes. Now, a man named Jean-Marie Le Pen was given 3 months in jail in Paris last week. Because he said something that they did not like. He said that the Nazi occupation of France was, quote, not especially inhumane. He took up for the Nazis. You can't say that. But wait, isn't there a First Amendment right to free speech? It may be stupid to say it, but didn't he have a right? No. Now, I've said to you on this program that I really don't know whether 6 million were killed in the Holocaust or not. Because a bunch of liars made up that statistic. That is against the law in Germany. This program is being broadcast on WWCR around the world, and some people are listening to it in Germany, and therefore I can tell you right now, if I were to travel to Germany, I could be arrested and sent to prison for up to 15 years for a hate crime. But what if I went to the court and said, I want to prove my case that what I said is true? No, because in Germany, the law says that truth is not a defense. Truth has no bearing on the matter at all. What you say, your opinion, and it might even not be opinion, it might be a fact. Several years ago, this ministry used to be a non-profit organization. And the IRS sent me a letter and said, we want to examine your organization because there are certain things you are saying that appear to be your mere opinion. And this is not agreeable to the IRS. Because you see, according to the 501c3 statute, a nonprofit organization or church may not express its opinion if it differs from what the government believes is so. You may not express your opinion, only facts. Well, I didn't know that. So I said, well, okay, these are facts. And they said, well, we disagree. I said, well, who decides? They said, we do. We're the IRS. I said, well, you can take your nonprofit status and shove it. I did. We just said, we don't want to play your game. What do you mean we can't express an opinion? That's right. You have no right, if we give you tax-exempt status, to express your opinion, unless we agree. As my attorney told the IRS agent, in other words, it's your opinion that Mr. Morris should not have an opinion. They said, that's right. Now, I know, friends, you're saying that can't be. The IRS wouldn't do that. They're only concerned about money. Shut up! They're concerned about what you say, what you think, because they're a psychopathic federal bureau under the power of psychopathic bureaucrats. Now, number six, then, removal of ability to correct lies. They'll pass hate crimes. You'll have no way to do it. Number seven is sanitization of history. Sanitizing of history. Political correctness. Dead white men's rules go by the wayside. We don't care what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them said. History must be changed. It goes down the black hole. Number eight. Rewards and punishment will be based on chosen categories. Your race, your religion, your sex, what music and entertainment you like. You like gospel music? The old-fashioned kind? Oh, my. We're going to punish you for that. That's right. You're not a black person? You're not a Latino? We're going to punish you as a white person for that. Because we have rules. And certain people are chosen. You're a Jew? Oh, well, you're going to go to the top of the line. Number nine, a leveling of society. Society must be level. Why do you think they're going to bring in 40, 50, 100 million illegal aliens? They're going to level us. Level us. That's what they do in a mentally deviant society. They will take away everyone's initiative and anyone who might be better off than other people. They will level us. And finally, the wise men, number 10, in a pathocracy, there will be favoritism of the ruling elite. How do they know they're ruling elite? They have their organizations, the Council on Foreign Relations and so forth. Only in this way can they transform society, make it over. The ruling elite must be favored in all things because everything must change. Those are the 10 ways we can judge as to whether America is a psychopathic society. And if it is, then the killing could start at any time. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been looking at a pathocracy, which is America. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.